Romans chapter 2. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the punishment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honour and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek, for God shows no partiality. Amen.
1, verses 12 to 17. It's another passage about patience, and this time looking at it from the point of view of a sinner who delights in God's patience to him. And the children can get their folders right on cue. Timothy 1, verses 12 to 17. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. And amen. Well, brothers and sisters, just to give you an idea of where we're going this afternoon. Going to see that God is slow to anger. We also need to fit this in with the rest of God's character, especially this particular aspect, because this can confuse us. And then we want to ask that so what question. Some years ago in Western Australia, a boy-up driver was in the Bunbury court over a road rage incident. Apparently, he got to an intersection and he had to wait, like we all do, but he had enough of waiting. For him, it was just too long, and so he sounded his horn. In response, the other driver verbally abused him and threw an object which bounced off the windscreen of his car. That object was a pair of pliers. And so he followed the guy who threw the pliers, got his number plate, and rammed him from behind. And so he ended up in court. Do you have an axe in the boot for times like these? Some people do. That's how crazy some road rage is. Maybe you don't, but maybe your impatience comes out, and mine, in other ways. However, God is different, very different. He is holy, of course. And on the pages of the Bible, you don't find God throwing the plies at sinners. Far from it. In fact, it's impossible to plumb the depths of God's patience. So great is his patience toward sinful humanity. So great is his patience toward sinful humanity. As 19th century writer Octavius Winslow put it, the patience of all the created beings in the heaven combined would have been exhausted long ago had it been left to deal with sinful man. Such is the magnitude of the patience of God. Last week we began looking at the goodness of God. God is good. As the Belgian Confession says, God is, quote, good and the overflowing source of all good. And we saw last week how, because God is good, the good overflows, and we saw that the good overflows in a whole variety of ways, and we only really scratched the surface on all these different ways, such as grace and mercy and kindness and patience. So now we have the opportunity to dig a little bit deeper into the goodness of God, and in particular we're appreciating his goodness from the perspective of patience. Remember that verse in Exodus 34:6? Moses had asked God to reveal his goodness, and then this is what was revealed. Quote, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" Note the phrase, slow to anger. The King James Version has long suffering. So let's consider the slowness of God to anger, his long suffering, and then how it relates to the rest of his character, and then ask that so what question. So first, let's begin by considering God is slow to anger. When we are considering the patience of God, we are not simply saying that God is happy to wait. Because, you know, sometimes you can go to amusement park and people line up for the rides and they just do that and they're happy to wait. God's patience goes much further than simply being happy to wait in a line. Hence the Hebrew idiom, which is translated long of face. That Hebrew idiom was used to capture this aspect that God is slow to anger or long-suffering. And the point to note is that this patience is not just about waiting. To quote the Puritan writer Stephen Sharnock, the phrase refers to the wisdom and moral power to control oneself when one is offended. Or to quote John Calvin, that he is not only placable and ready and disposed to pardon, but that he patiently waits for those who have sinned and invites them to repentance by long suffering. So the point is that there's evil involved, you see. That there are offenses and sins that have happened. And God's patience means he is willing to tolerate that evil for a time and even postpone merited judgment. Think of the many times during the Old Testament monarchy when God was slow to anger. King Solomon, he had already reduced foreign gods and built a high place for their worship. His son King Rehoboam abandoned the law. And then his son, King Abijah, it says he was not wholly true to the Lord. And you'd think after that run of kings, you know, God would strike them right then and there with a bolt of lightning, so to speak. You would expect, in light of Deuteronomy and all the covenant stipulations that were highlighted before God's people and laid before them, you would expect all the covenant curses to be brought upon them then and there, as soon as King Solomon went wrong. But God was slow to anger. Later things got worse and a line was crossed. God said to King Josiah through the prophet, he said, "Behold, I'll bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants. All the curses that are written in the book that was read before the king of Judah." In other words, a turning point had been reached then. But even then, God was slow to anger. God said this to Josiah, "You shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring on this place." In other words, wrath was already deserved at that point. The cup was full at that point. But God remained slow to anger. And that's just repeated again and again, isn't it? I mean, you know how it goes through all the Old Testament. These are the kings of Judah. These are the better ones. So this is a very beautiful aspect to God's character. Or every aspect is. Like looking at a diamond from different facets. It's all beautiful. And here it is again. So beautiful. Because in justice, God doesn't fly off the handle or take revenge. He's never overzealous for justice. His just response to sin is beautifully tempered by the fact he is slow to anger. And isn't that what we see in our Lord Jesus Christ? When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued to entrust himself to him who judges justly. The Son of God, we know he was so degraded, so humiliated, and yet so slow to anger that he would not snuff out a burning wick. Not only is this a beautiful aspect of God's character, it's a powerful one. Not sure if we associate being powerful with being patient, but Proverbs 16:32 says this, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." And in Hosea 11, God says there, "I'll not execute my burning anger. I'll not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man." In other words, the implication is God's not like mankind who lack the power to control their anger. God is different, beautifully different. He is holy, and he is slow to anger. But then now, in view of such incredible slowness to anger and powerful restraint, you might wonder, well, what about justice? What about holiness? What about truth? And so we need to then consider how God's patience works in harmony with the rest of God's character. And so that's the second thing we're looking at. And you'll remember that one of the attributes of God's character is his simplicity or his unity. It means, you know, we can't cut the character of God into little pieces. We can't cut the diamond into all little bits and then isolate little bits or favor little bits. We can't do that because God is one. We can't play one aspect off another. Rather, all God's character comes together in perfect harmony. In theology, it's called God's simplicity or his unity. And that means God is perfectly every attribute at the same time. It means he is perfectly just, perfectly loved, perfectly kind, and patient all at the same time. And so then, with regards to God's patience doesn't undermine the dignity of the rest of God's character. For example, slowness to anger does not set aside truth. Rather, it upholds truth at the right time. God said to Hezekiah that he would bring to bear his covenant curses. It didn't happen in Hezekiah's time either, but it did happen. And God's word proved true when the Babylonians arrived in 609 BC. Slowness to anger does not set aside holiness. By holiness, I don't mean the usual meaning of separateness now, but holiness in terms of purity, which is the secondary meaning in the Bible to holiness. Slowness of anger does not undermine God's purity. Rather, it upholds the purity of God. As Octavius Winslow says, the holiness of God will appear more holy and the justice of God more just when the floodgates of his wrath, long closed, open, and his fiery justice, long pent up, is let loose. And slowness of anger, here's the big one, does not set aside God's justice. Justice is never compromised. Rather, we see God giving space to repent, like in Hezekiah's time or Josiah, and in many other occasions. It's never a case of God turning a blind eye to evil, but patience is holding back his anger for a time. Think of the ark. Go back to Genesis and think of the ark. Joining the biblical dots, one gets the impression it took decades to build. Answers in Genesis reckon 55 to 75 years to build the ark. Whatever it is, however many decades it is, that's a significant time period. And again, the assessment was already that the people were wicked and every inclination of their heart was wicked all the time. The cup of deserving God's wrath was full. And yet God allows, in his design, Noah to just hammer away for those many decades, giving the people a chance to repent over those many decades before the door was shut on the ark. There was time to repent because God was slow to anger, but that did not prevent justice. For justice can be held back for a time, but never indefinitely. And that's where Romans 2 verse 4 comes in, because it's a warning to anyone who may presume on the patience of God. It says, quote, "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness and forbearance and patience are meant to lead you to repentance, but because of your hard and impenitent heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed." So you see, God's patience, it doesn't undermine the rest of God's character, the dignity of the rest of God's character. God is one. His perfections are one. So, if you're an unbeliever, consider what this means. You have received amazing patience from God. If you're an unbeliever, you have already earned the full wrath of God. The wages of sin is death, and we deserve all to be struck down in a moment for sin against a great and holy God. But praise God, he is slow to anger. For as in the days of Noah, he has granted you, the unbeliever, time to repent. So don't delay, because once the door of the ark is shut, there is no more opportunity. Once God's purposes for this world are complete for his elect, there is no way back. And the wrath that you have stored up will come upon you. No one should presume on the patience of God. Turn to Christ and be saved, because there is no condemnation for those who are in the ark of Jesus Christ. Turn to him and be saved. Now, what does this mean for the believer? The final thing we see is be slow to anger. Brothers and sisters, we too have received immeasurable patience. In fact, it could be argued that we have received more patience as believers than unbelievers. That we have received more patience. You see, the unbeliever sins out of their sinful nature. The believer sins out of a renewed nature. Our sin is after receiving forgiveness, and after receiving mercy, and after receiving grace. Our sin is after knowing what our Savior has gone through in his life and his death. Surely we provoke God all the more. So how wonderfully patient God is with us. How patiently God waits for our growth in grace and godliness. How patiently he watches as we fall for the same thing again and again. How patiently God bears with us when we go through trials. In our trials, we begin to murmur. We wonder about the wisdom and the goodness and the timing, as if God didn't have it all worked out. We wonder about the purpose, as if he didn't have one. And yet through it all, and through all the murmurings, God is offering again and again daily mercy, renewing grace, the promise of his presence. He could give us a good kick, throw a pair of pliers, but he's slow to anger and so patient with us. How blessed we are. What does that mean for how we relate to God? Give thanks for all his patience toward you. The Apostle Paul said, "But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." May God be praised for being slow to anger in each one of our lives. Praise God for not treating us as our sins deserve. And then let us learn to bear patiently what God brings our way. Does the trial cause you to despair? Is the yoke too heavy? Remember, he is slow to anger. Rather than murmuring, trust the beautiful character of God. As Winslow puts it, think of the God of patience and be still. Know that he who is wise is counseling you. He who is strong is leading you. He who is love is directing and shaping the whole scene. He is conducting you home to glory. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry." He always hears our cries. And he always patiently lifts us up again and again. What does God's slowness of anger mean for how we relate to one another? Well, it's difficult to reflect this to each other, isn't it? We're much more inclined to throw a pair of pliers or someone's way. Our pride can make it incredibly difficult. A heart of pride is a common roadblock to patience. We can think so highly of ourselves at times, seeing the faults of others but not really realizing our own, and then as a result not realizing that we need patience from others. In parenting, this can come out. Isn't it so easy to get upset by our children's or grandchildren's repeated sins? How many times do I have to tell you? Don't you understand? Frustration can boil over and hinder the discipline process. But then step back. Parents, step back. How many times does God have to get us to understand? How many times does he have to lift us up from the same sin again? The great pastor John Newton once said, "I've been 30 years forming my own views, and in the course of this time, some of my hills have sunk and some of my valleys have risen. But how unreasonable within me to expect all this should take place in another person, and that in the course of a year or two." So our pride can make it difficult. Our selfishness can make it difficult. Maybe this is more your struggle. We simply don't want to show patience sometimes. You know, often my impatience in the home is because just something's getting in the way. I've got work to do. I've got a deadline to meet, or I just want to trim that tree right now. And things get in the way. Now's not a good time to wet your undies. You know, the list goes on. You come up with your own. We're just going through toilet training recently, so you know. You see, with people around us, whether it's in family or in church, they interfere with our little kingdom sometimes. It makes us impatient. So slowness to anger is not something that comes natural to us, but praise God, he's doing a work in our heart and life. Boys and girls, you know what the fruit of the Spirit is, don't you? Love, joy, peace, patience. I think God's at work in our heart and our life. He's at work in our church because the Holy Spirit is renewing our heart and changing. And patience is coming forth. With the Spirit's help, we can bear the woundings of others, the slights, the weaknesses, and the more. We can bear the hatred of the world and the misunderstandings of the church. As one writer put it, whether you're buffeted for your faults or misrepresented and censored for your well-being, well-doing, if you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. We've been called to a new life in Christ, and it's a beautiful life. It's a beautiful life characterized by, quote, all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And these fruits of the Spirit, they make for beautiful church life. Of course, we shouldn't turn a blind eye to sin in the process. That's not what God is calling us to do, if we consider his character completely. We're also to be holy and righteous. But what slowness to anger does is then temper our response to others. It's a little bit like the flow reducer on the end of your tap. You know, most taps now in your kitchen sink have a little flow reducer on the end. And it makes a big difference. You take that thing off and the water spurts everywhere, just all over the place. Put that thing back on, you get some nice smooth water coming out. You see, we don't simply let justice gush out because we want to tear strips off someone. Rather, we temper our quest for justice with patience. Because slowness of anger is like that flow reducer. And Lord willing, as we do, it'll make resolution of conflict all the more easier, especially in our own homes. So in conclusion, how good is God? How wonderfully patient and slow to anger. What an awesome God. He is infinite in power. He is just and righteous in all his ways, and yet he's slow to anger. To the unbeliever, I remind you again, don't take this time of God's patience for granted. The only reason Jesus hasn't returned yet is because he's granting time for repentance, and the number of the elect has not being fulfilled. But that time when he returns is coming. To the believer, I remind you and me how much patience we've received, how blessed we are, how good is God. Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ who secured the patience of your God to you forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. gracious God, our patient God, we thank you for bearing with us. Thank you for in grace and mercy and in the love of your Son for lifting us up again and again, though we fall. Thank you, Lord, that even though years and years go by and we grow ever slowly, that you are patient with that growth. Thank you for not treating us as our sins deserve or repaying us according to our iniquities. Do pray that we won't take that patience for granted, Lord, but by your grace, more and more we may beautifully reflect it. So help us in church and home and society and work. Thank you, Lord, that we know you. Thank you for this revelation of your character and that we have your word to see your beauty. Will you continue to lay these precious truths, your precious character in our thoughts and on our minds through this week and beyond? You are beautiful beyond description. May you be worshipped and praised, for you are good and you are great. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.